Welcome back to another edition of the Why Hockey Periodical Podcast with me.
As usual?
As lately? Matthew O'Brien. Matthew OG Brian.
I like that.
So today we wanted to talk about the Flyers, but after last night's game, we were like, no, let's just talk Panthers. Let's give it another day.
Yeah, that needs to stew for another day to get the real issues.
The Flyers,
and, you know, get past the anger.
The Flyers just fired Gord Murphy and Chris Pryor. Now, Gord Murphy, I could take or leave. But Chris Pryor was the director of player personnel and the scout, and like was one of the main scouts under Hextall that put together this prospect pool. So obviously that's probably a loyalty Hextall firing type thing. But somebody's going to get a good quote unquote hockey guy out of this. So yeah, Flyers are in a mess. We'll deal with them. Let's deal with the more of a mess. But
yeah, right.
Less strings to untwist and put together and assemble and all that. The Florida Panthers, because of course they're not doing anything. At least the Flyers are doing something. Might not be. We'll see how it ends up. It's definitely interesting, but same old in Florida, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I've read a couple of different articles with pretty much the same viewpoint lately about, you know, the safety of Bob Bugner's job this year. And, you know, I get where some of them's coming from. We've had the sentiment on here, too, that you can't keep going through coaches. You know, this is already Barkov's fifth coach in his NHL career. But it seems weird to me, too, that you're putting out definitive Bob Bugner's not getting fired this year statements a quarter of the way through this season, especially with, you know, probably the biggest week of the season so far for the Panthers coming up, starting Wednesday night tonight in Anaheim, or against Anaheim, and continuing up through, I think, like next Tuesday or so.
Yeah, the end of the homestand, six games. My question is, what happens? It's an eight-game homestand. They had two bad games already. Yeah, they got 3 points, but come on, Chicago was in a...
It should have been four.
Somebody would have been fired. Let's just say that. Vinny Verhoeven would have had to fire someone the first time around. You know what I mean?
And that's another thing that annoys me is, oh, well, they're doing well in the homestand. They got 3 out of 4 points. But that Chicago, that's got to be 2 points. You have to lead with 2 seconds left in the third period.
It was a bad game. You can't say 3 or 4 points. Because, no, both of the games, this homestand so far has been an abject failure. Look at the people. Look at the stands.
Yeah.
This isn't like low Florida. This is low for Florida.
Yeah, I mean, the last like, game was reminiscent of that season opener against Ottawa a couple years ago with, you know, not even 10,000 people in the stand. They couldn't even announce it at 10,000.
I mean, let's just be honest. Thank gosh Corey Schneider wasn't in that.
Yeah.
I mean, thankfully, Taylor Hall didn't have that great of a game. Thankfully, it was just New Jersey.
Yeah. And that train is over with, you know, Anaheim, Buffalo, Tampa, Boston.
We're going to run into a hot goalie tonight against Anaheim.
Anaheim did play last night, too. So, you know, you're hoping maybe they're a little tired. They played the better team in Florida last night, so you know, maybe they're gonna take the Panthers lightly. And really, historically, with this team at least, the Panthers have played the Ducks fairly well, and I think that's another frustrating thing about this Panthers team for the last several years is they don't play very well against teams below them or you know, low in the standings, but they play fairly well against some of the better teams, and that is pretty much part of the reason why they're not a playoff team year in and year out, because they can't beat the teams they have to beat or they should beat.
This week I posted my first article on the Rat Trick. It's a long one. It's like 3,000 words, so go find it. Go sit with it. Go read it. On the 5 steps that the Florida Panthers need to do. Summit. It's goalie. It's Capuano. It's replacing Trocheck, now. It was supposed to be get Trocheck going.
Yeah.
Now we just need him walking. And then four was making a move. Even healthy, this talent level of this roster is not there. They need to do something, and it's up to talent to do it. And the fifth one was how much time does Bugner get? I think my feelings on this Panthers team is known, but I'm interested in your thoughts. What do you want to talk about this Panthers team? What went wrong? What do you want to fix? You know, what wool is being pulled over people's eyes? I mean, I don't know. What do you want to?
Well, I want to make a point that, much like in other years, you know, you've seen a little flurry of trades recently and, you know, teams trying to make some moves. And that's always been kind of this Panthers team's, you know, downfall is that they're late to the game on just about everything. They were late to adapt the new power play breakout that every team in the league was doing. You know, by the time they're ready to make a move, there's going to be a lot less teams willing to deal. You know, if you're telling me you couldn't figure out a way to get Strome and Perlini from Arizona for what, you know, what he went for, I don't know what to tell you. And as much as we've been a champion of Dale Talon on this podcast for years, you know, it's beginning to see... You're beginning to understand a little more why Chicago let him go when they did. He's a great builder, but it seems like he lacks that final step, that final push to take a team over the edge. You know, you have to do something. You can't look at this room and where we are in the standings year after year and say, yeah, we have everything we need. Something's got to be done. And, you know, again, I understand you don't want to fire the coach yet. It was very bold to say he's not getting fired at all this year. That kind of ties your hands a little bit. I'm almost at a loss for words at this point. You know, you have your top five guys getting almost a point per game right now, which is great. But then no one else is even close. And you need to find a way to get that, you know, their whole plan for years and years now has been have four lines that can roll that are all going, anyone on the ice can score. Well, that's not happening. We have five players that can score right now, and it's Mike Hoffman, Jonathan Huberto, Evgeny Dadonov, Alexander Barkov, and Keith Yandel. They're the only ones that are scoring, and they need more help.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to go and get more goals, one thing that we've railed against quite a lot is you got to fix the defense then, or fix the goaltending and not give up so many goals.
What is your response to the idea that money is what's playing a part of all this, that other teams either have the money or the willingness to spend the money to fix problems at this point in the season, and Florida does not?
I mean, I don't want to hear an excuse from the owner that they don't have the money. I mean, they came in when they bought the team and said money's not an issue. They have never held that promise once. And you know, it's not like we don't know who these guys are. I know Vinny Viola has a stable of horses. One of his horses won the Kentucky Derby. You think he's not getting millions of dollars in stud fees for that horse right now? He has the money, and I don't want to hear that money's an issue. Then sell the team and get away, because you're not doing the job. You're not doing what you came in and promised to do. I loved his messaging when he took over the team, and now it's put up or shut up. And clearly him and Doug Cifu are never going to shut up when we come at them on Twitter and on this podcast. So put up then. Put your money up. Do something. You know.
Well, Doug Cifu just put his tickets up for the most positive message today. Whoever could tweet the most positive message, oh boy.
We're still a hockey team?
There's no relegation in the NHL?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I don't think we're getting the most positive fan message.
When we started following this team, the amount of fans who would be critical, who felt comfortable being critical, who felt confident enough in hockey knowledge, in knowing the other teams and other managers and other and the history of the league was so small. And what it is now is pretty telling. The amount of criticism you're receiving, the amount of intelligent, reasonable, rational thought, paying and supporting and loyal fans are putting into the team is, yeah, somewhat part of what you've done, somewhat a part of what the team has accomplished and just the sport of hockey is able to do in a community. However, you got to make more use of it. You got to do better marketing. You got to stop. Anytime somebody says anything critical, you got to stop getting in such a mood that you have to go so publicly positive and almost agit prop in the media. Yeah,
and you want fans to be positive, then give us something to be positive about. Right now the message is, oh, well, we're 4 points ahead of where we were this time last season.
Jameson Cooperall.
Yeah, that's great. Buffalo Sabres are 20 points better than they were at this point last year. So, you know, I can already see the argument of, you know, we're 4 points better than we were last year. We only missed the playoffs by 1 point. So that means we're on the path to the playoffs. And that completely ignores that other teams are also outperforming their last season point totals. And they're ahead of us.
It also ignores that it means that for 2 years in a row, you were around the bottom of – you were, like, in the bottom five for the league through the first quarter of the season. In 2 years where you said it would be unacceptable to start slow. So, well, at least this year, the expectation was a hot start and it would be unacceptable to start slow. No accountability.
And you ended up having
nothing.
The worst start in franchise history, which there's been a lot of bad teams that the Florida Panthers have put on the ice in their history. And this isn't really one of them. This is one of their best starts or best teams that they've ever put on the ice, and it was the worst.
Is that true that it was one of their worst? That was the worst start.
I think it was the Senators game that I had their broadcast on, and they said at least through like the first 10 games of the season or something, it was the worst. It was the worst month of October that the Panthers ever had. I mean, they have what, 2 wins?
But I mean, I'm sure by some metric that's probably yeah.
Two, seven, and one through 10 games.
It's embarrassing. I mean, and oh, what a great acquisition Hoffman is. And yeah, Hoffman's great. But he's should he be resigned? No, he shouldn't be extended. Is he playing well within the team? Better now, but not necessarily.
Yeah, and that's kind of the same trap that the Panthers
well
always
off the Barkov line because he's not a Barkov line player. Because
yeah,
he's not going to do
and,
well on the
and
playoff.
It's the same trap that they often fall into, you know, in regards to re-signing guys that have good years. You know, honestly, the best move, if Hoffman keeps up this and you don't make the playoffs, is trade him while his value is at the highest it'll ever be.
Get a
you know, if he ends up putting up 80 to 90 points this season, you know, 30 to 40 goals, that's worth something to other teams.
You could get a top pairing defenseman. Not Adam Larson. You can go get a top pairing defenseman. Although, at this point, I'd take Adam Larson.
He'd be a top pairing defenseman on this team, that's for sure.
Yeah. How about the argument that this goalie situation the Panthers find themselves in is bad luck. It is what it is. Any criticism is 20/20 hindsight vision.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's out the window when you can pull up our podcast from the day after James Reimer signed and hear our thoughts on it.
I'm not sure they can anymore with
yeah, that's true.
Our SoundCloud and our web.
You know,
getting
when it came out, it's – why are you paying a backup goalie that much money for that many years? You know, they're going to argue, well, he was brought in to be Luongo's replacement. You know, he was going to take over the crease. But he's doing that this year, and he's not doing it well.
And it was known.
It's not a surprise. I mean, this is the same James Reimer that played in Toronto and couldn't start. You know, and that was on a Leafs team that wasn't like they are now. The Leafs were around where the Panthers are now at that point, and he couldn't do it. It's not a mystery. It's not a surprise. Now it's an excuse of, you know, they're spending so much money on goaltending, and it would be nice. It'd be nice if it was working out, but since it's not, it's tough to stomach. But it's not like it was. I made the point to you earlier before we got on the air. It's not like it was a scratch-off lottery ticket that we found out the price of these goalies. We offered them these contracts, or we traded for Luongo knowing what his salary was. It's self-inflicted wounds right there. And the best franchises find ways to move on from bad contracts. Unfortunately, by the time the next expansion comes around, Reimer's only going to have, maybe 1 year left. It might even be after his contract's up. So the buyout's not going to be, the free buyout's not going to be really worth it at that point. And that goes back to kind of, you need to put up the money. If he's not working out, he's either got to get sent down to the AHL. Do you think anyone's going to claim him off waivers if you send him down to the AHL?
No, I mean, and if they do, that's problem solved, right?
Yeah, exactly. So. And they keep saying, no, the goalies aren't. If only we had another goalie that we could bring up that was playing well in the AHL right now.
Would that be Chris Driedger?
If only.
Would that be Michael Hutchinson? I mean, I don't know who this goalie is.
And again, you want to talk about saving money. Samuel Montembeau doesn't even make $1 million if he gets called up to the NHL. So, you're spending the 1.3 on Hutchinson.
But Matt, they're so close to the cap. How could they make all of this work? It's like people who say that, oh, like they spend enough on salary, like ever pay, like ever like look into the details, like ever go into cap friendly and like, okay, how much do they actually spend? How much of the cap it is inflated? How much of it was, there's $9 million sitting there in IR money. Now, I don't know, but is IR money covered by insurance or the team?
I believe that's insurance.
So, I mean, that's, what, $9 million on the cap that Florida is currently not paying for every day?
Philadelphia right now, there's a lot of talk of their goaltending situation and is it time to bring up Carter Hart? The Flyers don't really want to because they wanted him to, if they were going to bring him up, wanted him to be, tearing up the AHL and doing well. And, he's off to an average start, and we'll get into that more tomorrow on why I think that's the case. But you have the Panthers do have a goalie that's playing very well in the AHL through a quarter of the season, even with, kind of splitting his crease with other goaltenders that are worse than him. But it's not affecting him, and he's still putting, getting results night in and night out. That's another thing I'm kind of sick of, well, we want our AHL team to do well too, but there's no two. The NHL team's not doing well. So you can win as many Calder Cups as you want, but if your NHL team stinks, it's worthless. If you refuse to bring them up and all they ever do is win in the AHL, what's the point? And you had a similar with Trocheck going down. You have a guy in Henrik Borgstrom who's got a point per game down there. He makes Michael Haley a good AHL player. He's making these guys that aren't very talented players in the AHL.
Look at the confidence Haley came up with. I mean, his first game back,
he made the most amazing saucer pass I've ever seen. And if that's not confidence playing with Henrik Borgstrom, then I don't know what is.
Yeah, I mean,
I almost thought it was Borgstrom, but then I was like, he's a little too short.
Also, I mean, I don't think this gets talked about enough, but how's that Colin Seager contract looking when Troy Brouwer and Michael Haley are beating him out this year?
Yeah. And, I think we've mentioned it before, too, but for whatever reason, and I'm glad it worked out this way. I really like the player. But for whatever reason, Juho Lamico is the guy that they've done right by. He started out in the NHL. I don't think he had a point in his first five games. I thought for sure that was going to mean he'd be sent down the first chance they got. But they stuck with him and in fact started increasing his minutes. Didn't even really give him better players to play with. He's still on the fourth line with Troy Brower and Michael Haley most nights, and he's picked it up. He's played better every game. They've shown the patience that is the right kind of patience with him, and you can see it in his game. He's more confident every night because the trust that they gave to him. Because, he was never scared of making a mistake and that being the end of his NHL time this year. And you wonder why they can't do that with a guy like Dennis Malgin. Why is he find himself back in the AHL? Why is he not getting the courtesy of playing through a slump and finding his game? And that's kind of been the story his whole career. Anytime he goes three or four games without a point, he's scratched or sent back to the AHL. You got to give the guy some time. He's still young. He's still trying to find his game, and especially as a smaller player. You need to give him the time and the exposure to work through it.
Dennis Malgin's an RFA this year. It's important to get him to a point where you can assess his future better and make a solid deal to him. Because, in my opinion, Malgin deserves another couple of years around. At worst, he's a good depth player, extra forward. He's an extra forward on your team. I'm really happy.
And it's the perfect example of, that's the kind of guy, if you want four lines that you can roll, that can all score, that are all dangerous, that's a guy you want in that bottom six.
Yeah, he's great on zone entries. He doesn't lack for effort. He doesn't lack for physicality, even though he's small. He's fine. I don't see any problem with him. And the issue is, they will do this for Lamico. They will do this for people the coach likes, but they won't do it for all their prospects. And it's hurt guys in the past. Look at Matheson. Because the GM at the time, or the coach at the time, or whoever, didn't trust Matheson to be the offensive power play quarterback he was supposed to be. They went, got Yandel, locked Yandel in. Matheson hasn't seen offensive minutes since, and now has no offensive game, has no defensive game because that was never his strong suit, and they tried to put a block in a circle hole. Where is he now because of it? They're putting him on the first line now, finally, and it hasn't worked, but he's still never played much power play minutes. He's still never really played first pair minutes and everything, and he's still struggling. He's still learning. This should have all been done a while ago. He's in his mid-20s.
And when he's down in the AHL, he is the offensive defenseman. So even when he's not in the NHL, you're still not working on the part of the game that you want him to play in the NHL. And that's frustrating. And, his partner in crime, Ian McCoshin, is around the same point too, where he might not ever see the NHL because they've never used him. He's not ready.
You got a freebie in Jacob McDonald in the offseason on a streak, may I add, and you snuffed out the flame and you put him in the AHL. He's still doing great in the AHL. Call him up. Use him. He's in his mid-20s. Get something for him. Use him for the year. Flip him. Or just use him. Just use him. Let him be on the team.
You can't be worse than some of the D we got right now.
I don't understand why Pisick and Petrovic haven't been traded yet. We used to just get rid of Colby Robach or Drew Shore or whatever. If there are guys who just couldn't do what they needed to do after a while and were in the rumor mill, they were eventually just traded because they weren't a distraction to the team. They weren't
And for scraps, too. It's not even like you got anything big out of them.
If you get me a couple picks back for Pisick and Petrovic, or if you package them with somebody else and get a goalie or get something, I'll be happy. They take up money, they take up space, they take up development, and they're not playing well. What's the point? What's the point of having these right-handed defensemen who can't play well enough to be in the top four? I don't understand. They're putting him into the top four. These guys are committing turnovers. They're not playing well. They can't balance the weaknesses of Yandle. You always say they have the same type of D. They have the same type of forwards. They have too much of the same. There's no diversity. There's no different styles of play. There's no different strategies. There's no everything's the same way all the way through. It's so easy to play. It's so easy to strategize against. And, you know, it's so easy to predict. It's why every year we predict the same things to happen and the same things do happen. And, you know, I'm sure by the end of the year, there's going to be a nice big streak. And in the spring, we'll be saying, how come we're picking 11th or 10th and we're missing this guy we really needed at 5th or 6th?
And it's all going to come back to, you know, the start of the season again.
And then 3 years later, you're hearing about this guy. Like, who's this guy with 70 points and 70 assists? Miko Rantanen? When was he drafted? Oh, okay. I got you now. See, that's what we're talking about. Like,
yeah, and where's Lawson Cross? Not even in our system anymore, and not even doing anything in Arizona.
And what? And I mean, Tippett's having a good year in the OHL, but I mean, no shit.
Well, and
look at his age. Look who he's playing against. Look at his shot.
And
those goalies are awful.
The frustrating thing is, despite his good year, he's still probably 2 years from playing in the NHL because they're going to keep him in the AHL for years.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, by sending him back this year, he's not going to be, you know, developing physically enough. You know, he's not that he's taking it easy, but he's playing easy competition. He you know.
Yeah. How is he going to be able to
The whole problem with their development is they don't get guys NHL minutes prior to, you know, at the beginning of their development to see what they have to work on, to see how hard it is to play in the NHL night in and night out. And then they're 2 years behind the eight ball by the time they finally get called up to the NHL, and they're 24. They only have 4 more years left in their prime, and that's it.
You know, I got an idea. I got an idea. I'm going to run this by you. They're gonna fire talent at the end of the year, right? The guy I want to be the coach is Ralph Kruger, current exec at Southampton. Or if you won't leave Southampton executiveship for a coaching spot, as he said constantly, make him a GM, make him an executive, and hire for GM another guy from the soccer world, somebody from the soccer academies, because this Florida Panthers team needs to do exactly what you just said. They need to get people minutes. They need to figure out roles. They need to figure out, have different lineup cards, have different strategies, have different, be able to carry an 82-game schedule, balance all the all-star breaks, all the different things going on in the season, the off-season training, manage big talent, big personalities and stuff. I mean, what do you think about that?
And isn't that the brilliance of having younger roster players, that you have to be a certain age and a certain experience level to qualify for waivers? So when you have a younger team, you can move these guys up and down and move your, you know, change your roster within your own system more times than you can by having, you know, 30-year-olds that are waiver eligible and UFA eligible. You look at a team like Vancouver this year, who's overachieving right now. They might end up falling back down, you know, below where they are now, and they're probably not going to make the playoffs. They're in a tough division and a tough conference, but
they did just get Besser back.
But they have the ability, they have this movement of players that, you know, and they're growing together as a core, these young players, and they're playing with each other either in the AHL or the NHL, so they have that chemistry and that camaraderie by the time they're all on the NHL team. And that was supposed to be the Panthers, that was their plan, that was what they said they wanted to do. But they're just keeping them together in the AHL. Not, you know, they're keeping their NHL team and their AHL team separate. And they wait too long to get junior guys up into the NHL or into the AHL in significant minutes. Henrik Borgstrom's mostly on the third line still in the AHL. What's that all about?
Before we wrap up, we have a few minutes left here. I think my biggest disappointment and my biggest problem with the overall direction of the team is after the Roe experiment, you had the old school hockey versus the analytics, everything. I thought it was putting it to bed, taking the best of both, and trying to find a new progressive third option to push this team and to, I know they're not broke. The team isn't broke, but they definitely aren't willingly spending all the money they should to get themselves out of this mess, to market this team better to fans, to have third year, just anything to put life into this franchise. It doesn't seem to be there. Where is this new approach? Where is this progressive? Where is pushing the boundaries?
Yeah, they're always behind the eight ball instead of, work to reinvent the wheel, take a risk. And maybe that's what you can argue what the Computer Boys was, but it didn't work out, and the excuse is going to be that set them back 2 years.
But
I don't
want to
hear
out?
It because that was a self-inflicted wound again, and that was your own mistake from ownership that you don't want to work to get over and get through. I think we mentioned it before. I don't know if it was on a podcast or just talking about it. Buffalo took such a giant leap forward. Because, they've made some mistakes in the past couple years, but Pegula is willing to just throw money at a problem until he solves it. Mm-hmm. And that's what you need when you set yourself back 2 years. Don't ask the fans to be patient for two more years when it was your own damn fault. Fix it. Do something. You can't just wait. You can't, because by the time you wait, these other teams are now 4 years ahead of you.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about we could have Kekalainen as a GM. That would be progressive. We're talking about bringing somebody in from the European soccer world, bringing in somebody who can take the roster you have and use it better, use more of it. Somebody who is going to be a coach behind the bench, who's going to know what to do in the middle of a game when you're losing.
He's going
to know how to different ways to put a lineup together to get different results. If I need to be defensive, we can run this. I can put these people together. If we need to be aggressive, I can do this. If you need to do that, there doesn't seem to be
any. And frankly, you can do that. You can change things on the bench in the game with the players you have, depending on, what the score is going to be. Like the Penguins often do when they're down by two goals, Crosby and Malkin play together. You can make those changes in game too, coach. And
the problem is the moves that they do make in game itself fly in the other direction.
Yeah,
the moves that we advocate for, the moves that other teams do and find success.
And here's one argument to go kind of with your European soccer model. You don't necessarily have to go get one of those guys. The rumor right now is Joel Quenneville, when he gets hired, wants general manager duties. As well, he wants more control over his roster, not just on the bench, but in the system as a whole. And maybe that's something you look at is your next coach giving him more power to call up players.
That's one way to keep the money down and configure his
own roster rather than you see it with countless teams. You're seeing it with the Flyers right now. I think part of the reason Hextall was fired was because he wasn't willing to bring certain players up and construct the roster the way that Dave Hextall wanted it. And that's why Hextall kept his job right now, I think. That's at least, one of the theories. And maybe the time is, general managers aren't going to be happy about it because, someone's going to be out of a job if you give a head coach general manager duties. But maybe that's the next logical step in progression of hockey as a whole, is letting your coach have more control over his roster instead of having to ask his general manager, can you call this player up? Can you do this for me? Letting the coach decide because he's the one on the ice and working with the players day in and day out. He knows what he needs. He knows his strengths and weaknesses as a team, and he knows it at the ground level, not watching up in the press box.
Safe is death. Stagnant is death to this Florida Panthers team. The lockout is coming. Florida won't make a profit. They won't make any money. They will lose money during the lockout year. They'll lose a bunch of money. That will play a big part into how Florida acts in the future. I mean, they are a smaller market team, so they're always going to be struggling.
I say it about younger players all the time over some of the veterans, and it's the same with trying something like the approaches we just laid out for general managers and stuff, that if you do something bold, if you make a change and try and do something, I'm willing to cut you more slack than just doing the same old, same old. If you go for a coach GM and it doesn't work out, I'm willing to cut you a little bit of slack rather than what you're doing now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the big difference between, you know, they did take a risk before, but it was the people they put in place. Talon moving up to president wasn't a bad idea. It was Tom Rowe as GM that was a bad idea. It was, they only got outside stats people for business side stuff, for drafting. They didn't really use it for other stuff. It wasn't involved in the coaching aspect of it. You know, like there was a lot of issues.
They kind of implemented it.
And, or you could say they didn't spend the money to do it right. They hired friends and family. They did what they had to do it on their budget. And it didn't work out. And we're not saying don't ever take a risk again, because that seems to be what's happening. They don't want to ever take a risk again. We're saying be smarter the next time you're going to jump off the ledge. Make sure you engineered the wings a little beforehand, and you consulted some people outside of the organization, and you hired the guys who are going to be future Hall of Famers like Joe Quenneville to take the risk of being GM instead of, you know, oh, Tom Rowe's going to be GM coach. Because, you know, that's going to be a little different than Joel Quenneville.
Yeah. Yeah, what, three-time Stanley Cup winning coach.
And a heck of a mustache.
A heck of a mustache, year-round, not just in November.
So hopefully this will be posted separately today, and tomorrow you'll be hearing a Flyers podcast. We don't really have much more to say. I think Matt made a lot of great points. O'Brien, we got to get you on to talk more about what Florida can do and thinking outside the box, because at this point, they're not doing any of the thinking or moving and shaking for it. So we're going to have to come up with ideas ourselves.
I'm an ideas man, Tom.
I think you've proven that. Good night, good hockey. Talk soon.